With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Aaron Rodgers, very unhappy with this situation. A lot of people think that the Denver Broncos make a lot of sense for the future first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback. Peter King went on the Dan Patrick Show. Peter King doesn't think that Rodgers will start week one in Green Bay.
My bet would be no. I mean, I don't see it. I just think this is going to get particularly ugly. There's not going to be any media people who are going to have any vacation between now and Labor Day weekend. Sorry, everybody. And I just think if at some point, I think Green Bay's might have to come to the realization that they're either going to be playing Jordan Love, or if they think he's not ready, they got to go find somebody. You know, maybe they look, I mean, how in the world could this ever happen? But maybe they look 3 hours south and look at Nick Foles, who seems to be a man without a country in Chicago. And how crazy would it be if Nick Foles outduels Andy Dalton early season in a Bears-Packers match? I don't know.
So, Bing, I do want to get into the Chiefs draft with you. There's certainly a lot to get into. I think sort of right now it's being happy and content with what Kansas City did and also keeping an eye on the Denver Broncos, and our entire conversation would need to change if they were able to get, in my opinion, the second best quarterback in the NFL, certainly with that roster. What do you make of what's happening right now with the Denver Broncos / Green Bay Packers? Do you think that Rodgers is a realistic possibility for them at quarterback?
You know what I do? I really do. I think Vic Fangio understands he's not the guy to draft and develop a quarterback, that it's not going to happen under his watch. They're on their second offensive coordinator in 3 years of Vic Fangio. The fact that Denver did have success with Peyton Manning, you know, bring that back. They haven't beaten the Chiefs since 2015, since Peyton Manning. That's a long time ago. You're going back 6 years, last time they beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And that town loves that team. It's not like Kansas City. I mean, they always talk about the quarterback in that city, and they understand that 23% of their schedule at this point is against Mahomes and rising star Justin Herbert, and the only way to compete with who they have is to bring in a quarterback, because guess what happens? Starting next year, it's the paying of Cortland Sutton and everybody else. So eventually you got to pay the piper, the players they have there. They want to win now.
I was trying to think of a scenario in which a player like this was able to trade themselves out of town, and the only one that I can think of is Carson Palmer. You remember Carson Palmer?
Same agent as Rodgers.
Carson Palmer decided that I wasn't going to play for Cincinnati anymore. Palmer was also willing to miss games, though. Like, he just didn't show up, and they traded him in the middle part of the season, and then he joined the Oakland Raiders. For the most part, the NFL is designed to keep you on to your current team, especially if that team wants to keep you. And all of the rhetoric and conversation around Green Bay would lead me to believe that they want Rodgers back next season.
Yeah, they definitely want Rodgers back. Isn't it interesting that David Dunn, though, his agent, the same one that got Carson Palmer out of there. And Aaron Rodgers just thinks he's gotten to a point where, and he really has, he's gotten to the point where, hey, I'll retire if I want to. I'll go do Jeopardy if you want me to play for another team. You know, I still got football in me a little bit. But he's at that position where he kind of holds the cards over the Green Bay Packers because he's already accomplished enough and has enough money in the bank that he can do this. Not everybody can do the same thing here that Aaron Rodgers is doing. But, yeah, surely they want him back. But it's a fractured relationship. You know, this offseason, the general manager, the head coach, the team president, all fly trying to kiss his butt, bring bouquets. Hey, Aaron, we want you back. We want you back. We want you back. Bottom line is, he probably gets moved.
You think so?
I think he does.
You think he goes to Denver? Or you think
he either goes to Jeopardy or goes to Denver. He's not going back to Green Bay. Like, he has dug his trench. When Aaron Rodgers, like, digs in anything in his personal life, he's serious about it. Like, it does not happen. If he says one thing, That's what you got to take, because that's, he doesn't back on many things in life.
I would have traded him to San Francisco then if I was Green Bay. I mean, San Francisco has the number three overall pick, or had the number three overall pick, so you could have used it on the best positional player on the board, whether you thought it was
like
a wide receiver.
They didn't like this draft. There's like the whole theme of this draft, C-Dot. If you noticed, a lot of teams were accumulating picks for next year. And even Dave Gettleman of the Giants doesn't trade back. He's trading back because next year's draft is going to be better than this year. There's going to be more info. And I don't think Green Bay really liked this draft, to be honest with you. I don't think a lot of GMs really liked this draft, to be honest with you. They like next year's better. Denver sits fourth under the salary cap. You know, they've got a host of picks next year. They can send those next year's picks to the Green Bay Packers, get the job done. But, again, I don't think this was the year, because I don't think even a Trey Lance or these guys, I don't think they really light the fire compared to quarterbacks that have come out in previous years. Sure, is it the best we had now? Is the best we had ever? No.
Start putting in your questions right now. Hashtag Ask Bink. Random question time with Jay Binkley. That'll be coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. But just talking through the Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay Packers situation and now making a transition to the Kansas City Chiefs. I really like this Chiefs draft for a couple of different reasons. I thought in round two they could go in a lot of different directions. I thought they addressed the need when it comes to linebacker. I think that's the position group that they're the thinnest at. So they went out and addressed that need. Creed Humphrey, we had someone on yesterday who covered the Oklahoma Sooners, thought he was the best offensive lineman in the Big 12, can start day one at center, could also play right guard if this team needs them to. I also look at the day three picks. To me, they took athletes. You look at Kane Doe, tested really well athletically. You look at Trey Smith, tested really well athletically. Cornell Powell, great athlete. So I think in day one, or day two, I guess, in this context, they looked at guys who could either come in and start from day one like Creed Humphrey or be in the mix to start with Willie Gay. And then on day three, when you're taking more of those flyers, they took guys who rated really well athletically and then bet on their coaching staff to coach them up.
Yeah, Creed Humphrey, and I'm with you on that. I mean, you pair that center with Patrick Mahomes going forward. Could he start this year? I think he could. Look at some of the quarterbacks he played with at Oklahoma. You know, you go back Jalen Hurts. He played with Kyler Murray. You know, in 17, he did redshirt when Baker Mayfield was there, but still he's around Baker and all that. But he was a center for Kyler Murray. He was the center for Jalen Hurts. Up-tempo offense with Lincoln Riley. Translates to Kansas City, right? Didn't give up to sacks. It's a good fit for Kansas City, honestly, because of the offense that they ran and the high quality of quarterbacks that he played for, thinking, all right, I can't get these guys sacked. These are the playmakers playing the quarterback position. I can't do it. And he went out and did it. He used that wrestling background, didn't let anybody through that offensive line at Oklahoma. Bolton makes a ton of sense, man. I mean, it's the way that he just goes out there and hits you to knock you down. There's so many just those fourth and one stops that he would make in critical situations. Best linebacker in the best conference in the country. Don't believe me. Look at what conference has the most draft picks every year since 2007, and then we'll talk.
Who do you think is the better prospect, Willie Gay or Nick Bolton?
Nick Bolton. I mean, there's some flashes from Willie Gay. There was, you know, maybe not as much playing time as Nick Bolton had at the University of Missouri. I like Willie Gay. I love his coverage skills as well. People really kind of lose sight of the fact that he was the best graded coverage linebacker in the draft coming out last year. I think Bolton, to me, he reminds me of Derek Johnson. I think he's more of a hitter than Derek Johnson, and Derek Johnson got that way towards the end of his career.
That's interesting you say that.
But DJ had the, you know, the whole Todd Haley doghouse and things. But once he emerged from the doghouse, yeah.
That's interesting you say that, because I think a lot of people have made the Anthony Hitchens comparison. Like, that's kind of been the player. That's the kind of player that I've seen the most. That Hitchens right now, they own $14 million. And next year, they can get at it and save $12 million. So I don't think Hitchens is going to be on the roster next year. So then you plug Willie Gay in, and he's going to give you comparable production, very similar players to Hitchens.
I see DJ, because DJ at Texas was all about the other things he do as linebacker. Like, he was a turnover creating machine. You know, Nick Bolton's kind of like that, too. You know, pick off a pass. He'll rush the quarterback at times. He'll knock the ball out of your hands. He's a turnover machine. It's those intangibles and the love of football. Derek Johnson, love football. Look how fast he came back from that Achilles. That would be Nick Bolton. He still wanted to play when he went to the Raiders, DJ did, because he just didn't want to leave the game of football. Nick Bolton reminds me of Derek Johnson in so many different ways. I truly see a guy that takes the defensive signals, maybe not this year because it's still the Honey Badger, but the guy that take the quarterback of that defense.
Let me go around the room really quickly. Rob, I'll ask you this first before I ask Binkley. Do we look at Derek Johnson as being the last can't-miss prospect that the Chiefs drafted? Because I know Mahomes has turned out to be fantastic, but he also was a quarterback draft pick from Texas Tech. I don't think everybody was looking at him as a can't-miss. when the Chiefs drafted Derek Johnson, there was no doubt in my mind that if it was going to work or not. Like, you knew based on what you saw from Texas, his ability to sideline, his ball pursuit skills, there was no doubt in my mind that Derek Johnson was not going to work out as an NFL player. Have they had a can't-miss prospect since Derek Johnson?
Well, it took a while, though, because at first, you know, he did go in that doghouse of Todd Haley, so he didn't flash right there in the initially. Can't miss prospect.
I loved him coming in.
What are you talking about? Can't miss. You talking about first, second round, those type of deals?
I'm saying is whenever they drafted him, you knew that it was going to work.
That was a surefire.
Eric Berry? I was pretty confident Eric Berry was going to work.
Berry's probably the right answer.
That's right.
Because like when you looked at Eric Berry play at Tennessee, and you're like, yeah, that guy's going to be good.
No, that translated. EB translated.
Okay, my bad. So let me go and cross that off. Eric Berry was the last kid. I mean,
But there's been a lot of surprises, too, you know, like Legarius Sneed, fourth rounder. Course. I mean, there's been those, which I like those better than surefires.
Who's your favorite day three pick for this team?
Trey Smith this year. I think it's going to blow people away.
Every draft person loves Trey Smith. What about Trey Smith that you guys love so much?
I just like the guy, man. For anybody getting a player in the sixth round that's second round type ability, so much so that he had the Chiefs draft hat when he was on, right? That doesn't happen with typical six rounders. What happens is, that means you got all the hats, and they expected you to go earlier in the draft. So he got him. He throws the Chiefs one on. Think about that when you see what he did in the post-draft press conference. I like everything about him. I like the fact that Orlando Brown was tweeting about him back in January about it. That also shows you Orlando Brown really instrumental in two of the Chiefs draft picks, to be honest with you, Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey. But he talks about his technique and everything. And then watch the thing with Schwartz and just his love of the game and the ability and wanting to punish you. Like, I haven't heard of that kind of stuff since Kelechi Osemele, which I was a huge, huge fan of this move. And it was evident. That was a guy that was really missed from the Chiefs last year that goes completely under the radar. But KO was completely missed by this team when they went through the year.
What percentage chance would you give it that Trey Smith starts at right guard for this team?
You must say at least – I'm going to say only 40% at this point, only because that's where the true competition is.
You know, 40%'s not bad for a guy picked in the sixth round.
But that's Kyle Long, and that's LDT, and that's Allegretti, and it's all those guys. To me, he has the tougher road to start in the beginning only because of the experience at right guard. And don't forget, Austin Blythe played guard for the Rams. He's here on a one-year deal, $990,000. If Creed Humphrey beats him out at center, boom, Austin Blythe now becomes fighting it out for guard positions. Obviously, left guard's taken, but right guard he could fit in.
Who's the favorite, would you say, out of those?
I'd say right now it's Austin Blythe, but barely.
At guard?
No, it's center.
Okay, my bad.
Oh, at guard, Kyle Long.
I think it's a little bit disappointing if Creed Humphrey's not a day one starter. I mean, if you take an interior, like, you and I always talk about how centers get sort of undervalued. Like, you and I talk about how most teams feel like they can find that center in day three. If you spend a top 75 pick on a center, you feel pretty confident that he's going to win that job out in training camp and start.
I agree with you. He just happened to be there. I don't think the Chiefs thought he would be there initially. They went out and got a surefire guy that's been a starter in the National Football League, who was a guard. And then he had to make that transition with injuries back in 2009 to that Rams line and went to center form. Again, we've seen all the time guards the good of center and are useful in the National Football League. But he's been a guard as well. So always keep that in mind with Austin Blythe. Be in that competition. One thing the Chiefs have set themselves up for, Unit 1 is going to be a certifiable, startable, Super Bowl winning type line. But then there's Line 2 that they have that's a serviceable, probably 8-win team in the NFL if they had to start every single day. The backups on this team, the depth has gotten so much better.
I feel bad about the disrespect for Joshua Kando being compared to Tano Passanio for a couple of reasons. Number one, Kando was a top five recruit on Rivals. Like, we were talking about an elite level high school
IMG.
Product. An elite level high school product. And then second, one player went to Florida State to play football. The other one went to Villanova. And I'm not knocking Villanova, but Villanova's a basketball school, not a football school. They're not even a Division I football program. So it seems a little bit disrespectful to me to compare Joshua Kando and his pedigree and his athleticism to where Tano Passanio is. I think that's what those rounds are for. You take somebody who you deem to be a freak athlete, you think they were undercoached where they were, and now you get them into your system. And if he could turn into be Emmanuel Ogba, for example. Remember, Ogba was a little bit disappointing in Cleveland, came to Kansas City, and really showed that flash. if this coaching staff could get that out of Emmanuel Ogba, I'd love to see what they can do with somebody like that who has comparable physical metrics.
No question about it. And when you think about Kando, and here's the thing. Do I think out of all the guys, he's the most uncertain? Yes, I do. I think he's the most unproven of the bunch. But the potential is there. You don't get to be the high school recruit he was at IMG unless you could play. What does scare me, only 10 games the last 2 years, right? 7 this last year and only 3 the year before because he had a leg injury. But that was a revolving doors at coach at Florida State. All those coaches were coming and going. He didn't have great coaching. You put him in Kansas City with Brendan Daly on that defensive line. You give him meetings every day with Steve Spagnuolo's defensive coordinator. You have Jaron Reed and Chris Jones and company talking to Kando. Yeah, that's a much different situation in Kansas City. It's night and day compared to what he was there to hear as far as the coaching he gets. Now, I do think that's the one guy that needs to show more. Like he's... Yeah, exactly. Villanova, that's where Tano went. The height, that's the similarity. Villanova, that was the second player drafted defensively from Villanova since Howie Long. That shows you how long the gap. And that's been a successful national championship winning FCS team. So, yeah, that. But it's the coaches, the inside the door, outside the door, all these coaches gone. Finally, some stability in Kansas City. That's what they're hoping on.
913-576-7610. Coming up in exactly 5 minutes, we will ask Binkley random questions. So if you got a question to ask Bink, 913-576-7610. We'll get to it momentarily. Two final questions I want to ask you before we go to the text line. Do you feel they missed on not spending a more significant resource on wide receiver? I know they got Powell, but that's not where you're going to find your 1,000 to 1,200-yard receiver typically. You're normally going to find that guy in rounds 1 or 2 in the draft. They decided to go outside of that and pick up Powell. Do you think they'll regret not spending more of a significant resource at wide receiver?
No. I think they're going to hammer it next year in the draft. I don't think this year. Bringing back DeMarcus Robinson kind of gave me clear in re-signing Byron Pringle after tendering him. Kind of shows me what they thought of wide receiver. And they're right. I mean, the wide receivers, the draft looks great in this draft. It's certainly, you know, better than what it's been, but it's a lot of uncertainty you have as well because the physicals weren't there. The players weren't able to go to the combine. The talent pool was way down. I don't think they'll regret it, and I like Powell for several reasons. One, do I see that he can fit in that X role? Yeah, I actually see that. You go to the college football playoffs, 8 catches, 139 yards, 2 touchdowns. The other thing I like about him is he stayed there. Like, he had plenty of opportunities to leave Clemson, but he stayed. You know, he stays behind T. Higgins. He stays behind Amari Rodgers. He stays behind knowing he's not going to get the chance to shine. But he kept staying there, man. That shows some loyalty. Not only that, played in 3 national title games. Went to the college football playoffs with Trevor Lawrence all the time. Won a national title there. I think there's something to be said from the program you come out of. So I really like him.
I'm surprised that they didn't spend any resources on cornerback this offseason.
You know what?
Like, not a single one. Not in free agency, not now. I haven't really got too up in arms about it because Breland's still out there, so you can still bring Breland
back on a
1 year, 2 year deal. But, I mean, in free agency, they haven't addressed it yet. I mean, right now, they would go into it with Snead as a one, and I like giving Snead that opportunity. But after Snead, their second best corner is probably DeAndre Baker, who's coming off a significant injury. And let's be honest, hasn't been a productive player so far in his career.
Yeah, and keep this in mind, too. Honey Badger's actually played more slot corner than safety the last couple of years. They've used him in that role quite a bit for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not as concerned with it, but I've thrown a late-round pick at a corner like last year. Yeah, I thought maybe that's what they were going to do, but I understand the picks that they made. But DeAndre Baker shows some flashes, man, but he's got to get recuperate from the injury. I am a firm believer Bashaud Breland will be a Chief.
913-576-7610. Binkley, it is time for
random questions.
If you got a question, 913-576-7610. Corner Dot is back. I'm not full on Corner Dot.
Okay.
But you guys gotta at least ride with me right now that this year's cornerback group ain't looking too stout. I won't be full on Corner Dot if we can at least acknowledge that. Right now, their cornerbacks are Snead, Ward, Bo Pete Keys, Rashad Fenton, DeAndre Baker. That's their cornerback group right now. It ain't stout on paper. So if they go get Bashaud Breland, or another veteran corner. Maybe they pick up Richard Sherman, for
example. They had a gleam in their eye this past weekend when they were talking about the deal. So I would expect a certain guy that's been here before coming back.
I'm not going full-on corner. I just would like one more. I would like some veteran. Like, there's no proven corner on their roster. And I know Snead was fantastic last year, but it's different going from being the two of the three, didn't play a full 16 games, to now week in and week out, you're going against Devontae Adams, you're going against Keenan Allen, and you're consistently matched up against those players.
Well, Denver already had cornerbacks. They went out and signed two in free agency, and they draft Patrick Surtain. They're certainly worried about this division and the quarterbacks that exist.
I would have loved to pick up Kyle Fuller this year in free agency. But it ain't about me right now.
Same with me.
It is random question time with Jay Binkley. Today is May the 4th. What's your favorite Star Wars character and or movie?
You know, I'm going to say Boba Fett or Darth Vader. I know the opposite sides of the law, but both had redeeming qualities. Both of them had something that I can see in myself at different times.
Binkley, today is Taco Tuesday. What are your favorite tacos in Kansas City?
You know what? You can't go wrong with the old drive-thru up north. Up north, Rob, you hear me? It's called In a Tub. You know what I'm talking about, because you've heard about a two-seat out, the powdered cheese on the tacos. It's fantastic. Economical as well. Keep this in mind. They had a four-hour wait in Orlando White Castle yesterday. That's what I'm saying. You moved the In a Tub to another city, you'd see 4 hours. It's that good. But I'm a Rancho Grande guy, too. That's my go-to taco establishment where I can sit down and order from somebody, have a nice alcoholic beverage, and the chips and salsa pregame.
You're not Mr. Up North.
Yeah, I am.
You're Mr. Lenexa.
No, just because I didn't know a chain restaurant, because I'd never been there. I knew about it. What's the name of that? It's down in Northtown. What was that?
You're Mr. Mission Hills.
No. That's not
who
true.
You are.
It's not true. It was a chain restaurant. I'd never been there, okay?
Mr. Olathe, calm down.
I don't go
down,
to the Northland right? Perkins either.
Mr. Olathe, calm down. 913-576-7610. Hard shell, soft shell, or taco salad?
Give me the hard shell on Taco Tuesday. Any other day, I actually like the soft shell, like a street taco guy. But if I'm on Tuesdays, I celebrate with the crunch of a hard taco. There's nothing better than that, especially the ones that fry the taco around the meat. You get that crunch. You know what I'm talking about, Rob. You get the gleam in your eye. He knows what it is.
Would you rather the Chiefs sign Justin Houston or Melvin Ingram?
Melvin Ingram. But I'm a little worried, concerned about both, because both are still sitting out there. It's a weird deal with medicals this year. Teams are shying away from certain players. They're both productive, but teams aren't exactly knocking down their door either. So
you would have to think that now that compensatory picks are no longer a factor, that those guys sign here relatively quickly.
You would think
just like
so.
What happened to Alejandro Villanueva.
There's going to be certain players that filter out around through June, you know, a couple weeks before training camp, maybe in the beginning of July. Teams assess what they have. They've gone through the OTAs. Maybe there's been an injury in minicamp. And that's the direction they go. But there's going to be some guy that's signed right before training camp.
Text line 913-576-7610. We have more time for random question time with Jay Binkley. Binkley, how do you like your steak?
Medium well.
You're a medium well guy.
A medium well guy.
Okay, I'm a medium rare guy.
If you say medium well, you're probably going to get medium most places you go, which is fine. I like a medium, like I'm juicy, still see the blood a little bit, but... If you say just flat out medium well or medium at a restaurant, it's going to come out a lot different. You think say medium well, you're getting a medium. That's my opinion. It's like when you order extra large, you're only going to get an extra large or a double X shirt. You're only getting an XL shirt.
When you are in the mood for a great steak, where does Binkley go?
I cook them, man. I like to eat my own steaks. Now, if I have a choice, I go to Texas Roadhouse. Like if it's a place to go and I have to buy the steak, I go there. I would rather go to the grocery store, go to the butcher block, find the cut of meat that I want, and grill it myself.
What's your favorite barbecue side?
Barbecue side? Is French fries an acceptable answer? I'm a bean guy, but French fries count? Because I'd rather go French fries over anything.
Rob, we'll let you count this. Are we counting French fries as the barbecue side?
I'm not going to count French fries as the barbecue side.
Okay, beans. Huge bean guy.
I think that French fries count as a barbecue side at a restaurant. I don't think it counts as a side if you're going to someone's house. Like, I've never had fries at the cookout.
My favorite thing to do, too, is take, like, chopped burn-in meat or just any kind of meat, chop it up, throw that in your beans. You will thank me. Both of you guys can do this. It's an easy trick. Smash up your meat, throw it in your beans. Delightful. It's not sold on the menus. It's a secret thing.
Do you think the Nick Bolton pick would be... felt differently if he was drafted by a school that wasn't Missouri? So let's say that he was drafted by North Carolina. Do you think people feel the same way about the Bolton pick?
Yeah. I think there's a little pettiness that goes on with certain picks and players and where they went to school. I think pettiness does exist around here locally. And I think that, yeah, fans would be worried. Same thing with Kansas. They would say, oh, I played at Kansas. They don't win games. All, you know, Missouri people and K-State people make fun of it.
I'd be shocked they had a second-round draft pick.
But the Nick Bolton thing, it's Chase dealt with this, too, when he was here. Yeah, but he's from Mizzou. You know, I mean, he dealt with that, too. There's a lot of jealousy here. He's the eighth Missouri Tiger drafted by the Chiefs.
Do you have any opinion on KU losing by 32 in their own spring game?
That was not on the text line. This is not how the game is played. All right, hold on now. That's not on the text line. No one sees that.
Ask Rob who my first choice head coach was. I went screaming down the hall when they were about to get one.
He texted me in the morning they let Les Miles go. He said, Lance Leipold. He's like, get it done. As if I was the AD.
I'm very excited about their hire. I think Rob's going to enjoy his nachos and the season tickets this year.
I really liked Willie Fritz.
Did you?
I did, actually. I was a big Willie Fritz guy. I thought they should have hired him.
I like Willie Fritz, too, but he's no Lance Leipold or Leipold.
That is our guy, Jay Binkley. You can always ask him more questions at Three Guys in a Garage. Bink, appreciate you coming in.
Appreciate that, Rob.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll hear from Mike Matheny on the Royals bringing the band back together and Alcides Escobar being a member of the Kansas City Royals organization and someone on Fesco in the morning called this year's Royals the 03 Royals. Keep it locked in. It's the drive.